that precious blood, that flowed from Calvary, can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean, till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry. Far away from you, my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I said, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. God, I know I need you.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I had this aching within.
I've been washed. My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I have this aching within.
I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, be washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, be washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
I'm glad.
Well, the question is this morning, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And we believe that it's through the precious, holy, perfect blood of Jesus that a person goes to heaven. And by accepting what He did upon the cross, of course, that also involves His burial and resurrection. And we're so very glad for the blood of the Lamb this morning. And we want to welcome you here to Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs. I want to welcome those that are watching by way of Facebook this morning. And I'm sure there are probably a bit more, and probably in the near future a bit more, that's going to be watching by way of Facebook because of the COVID, and being up on the rise. But nonetheless, we're glad to see you here. And we still have our doors open, and we're still worshiping the Lord this morning, and we're glad and we're grateful for that. This morning, we're going to observe communion, and that will be at the end of the service, actually. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing a couple, and then we'll bring the message like we do every Sunday morning. And then we're going to give an invitation, and that will be a time to prepare yourself for the time of communion. And communion is one of two ordinances of the New Testament church, and that and baptism. And let me just say that an ordinance is something that we do because of grace, because of grace. A person gets baptized because they've been saved by the grace of God, and they want to publicly declare it to everyone. And the same with communion. Because of what Christ done, we remember His body and His blood. Now, there's also something called a sacrament. And the New Testament church, we do not believe in sacraments. A sacrament is something that you do to merit grace. And we know that you cannot merit grace. It is a gift of God. You see a lot of sacraments in the Catholic Church. But this morning, we believe in ordinances. And the two ordinances of the New Testament church, baptism and communion. And so we're excited about that this morning. And I hope you are as well. So again, our communion will be there at the end of the service. Many prayer requests this morning have been made known this past week. And some were mentioned in choir practice. We have many families that have been affected by COVID. And so let's please remember all who have been affected by COVID. And so we're going to remember all of those in prayer. God knows exactly who they are. I do want to say that we've been praying for Ricky Harper, and he has been on the ventilator, but also dialysis is what I hear. And so we're praying for Brother Ricky this morning. I believe Miss Ruby is back at home. She was sick, unless I got that wrong. She's back at home. And is that right, Miss Claudia? Okay. And so, but let's remember this family. Of course, Brother Harold Dolph, let's remember him in some upcoming surgeries he's going to have. Again, just many on our prayer request portion of the bulletin. Let's just remember all people. Let's remember the families that have been affected by Hurricane Ida as well, down on the coast. And many lives have been changed. Some have lost their lives. So let's remember them in prayer when we pray. Next Sunday will be our homecoming service. Homecoming service at 10:30 a.m. No Sunday school. Just remember that for next Sunday morning. Will be a great time of those who have left the church and went off and possibly joined other churches or moved. We're praying and hoping that many will come back to join us. Brother Snyder will be preaching in that service, and no evening service next Sunday. And we will have food to follow, so bring a dish for that. That will be appreciated. And then last thing this morning, just a very, very, very brief, when I mean brief, I mean almost brief, deacons meeting just after the service this morning. And just a couple of things we want to mention there, and then we will conclude. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's worship the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord, and for what you do. Oh God, accept our praise and worship this morning. Lord, we ask that you'll forgive us of our shortcomings, our failures, our faults. And Lord, as we move closer to the table to distribute the bread and the cup, I pray that, Lord, our focus would be centered upon you and what you went through so that we might be with you in heaven. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray for all these requests, those who are battling COVID, those who have lost loved ones, those who have been affected by the storm. God, we pray that you would just be near and close to every heart and every life. We love you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, stand with me and turn over to page number 177. Page 177. And we're going to sing exactly what the pastor started out with, and that is this. Are you washed in the blood? I sing now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graceless arm? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are choir, you can be seated as well. Let me just remind the choir again tonight, choir practice at 4 o'clock. We'll be trying to make ourselves ready for homecoming next Sunday, and we're very excited. Again, as Pastor says, starts at 10:30, no Sunday school. Starts at 10:30. We'll have probably a little extra singing, and Brother Snyder will be bringing our message. I've spoken with him a couple of times this week, and he's excited about being here with us, I know. And also, he has a couple of prayer requests. So rather than go into all that, if you would just please remember him in prayer this week. And trying to help out a family member who's going through a very difficult time. And so just please remember them in prayer. And we look forward to next Sunday morning. It'll be a great time in the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
We look forward to homecoming. All right, let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him once again to be in our service this morning. Father, we love you. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the fact of knowing that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I'm glad that I can know that I've been born into the family of God. And I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that are going through a difficult time. You know every life, every situation, and exactly what each one of those stand in need of. I pray that you touch them. Lord, I pray that you would heal where healing is needed. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that have gone through very difficult times over the past days. Lord, I pray that you would just hold them close to you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Pastor today as he brings our message. Lord, accept our worship and praise in this place. And Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful service we look forward to this morning in communion. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be clean before you. Lord, again, be with us and we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. Now bless the offering. Both the gift and the giver, you know exactly what is needed. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name.
again, it's good to be here this morning. And appreciate you being here. Appreciate those watching on Facebook. Good to have a couple visitors with us this morning, and so good to have you with us in the service. And I hope and trust that the Holy Spirit has made you feel welcome. So we praise the Lord for that. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Communion is one of the most, if not the most, sobering exercise we could do when we come together spiritually. And so I want to get this right this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And then I'm going to summarize 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then we'll read from verse number 23. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. Lord, let us this morning continue to stay focused on you as we have since we've been here. It's been about your blood. It's been about your life. And Father, we love you for that. And I pray in the next few moments you would help us to just be a vessel that you can use in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, in just a moment, we're going to read from verse number 23 out of 1 Corinthians 11. Let me just say this, that the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians can be summarized in two different ways. The book of 1 Corinthians, this book we're about to read from, we have Paul's letter of correction to the Corinthians. Paul's letter of correction. Chapter number 3, if you want to follow along, in verse number 3, the Bible says, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And so Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, felt led to correct this church in the book of 1 Corinthians. He corrects them on their perception of people. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." We know in chapter number 1 that Paul is addressing this perception of people because some said, "I am of Paul." Others said, "I am of Apollos." And some said, "I am of Cephas." And so Paul corrects them by saying that all of these men are but ministers, and it's God that gives the increase. And so Paul uses 1 Corinthians to correct the people of Corinth concerning their perception of people. But in chapter number 5, he corrects them on sin being in the church. In verse number 1 of chapter 5, the Bible says, "It is reported," notice this next word, "commonly," or "it is reported everywhere, that there is fornication among you." Fornication here meaning illicit sexual activity. "There is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles." Paul says, can't even find this being named among the Gentiles. And you are God's people. He says that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. And so Paul addresses this. Evidently there was a young man who took to his father's wife. There was a young man who had committed fornication with his stepmother. Is the verbiage or the wordage here where he says his father's wife. And so we know that there wasn't any mourning over this in verse number 2. He says, and you're puffed up. He said, you're puffed up about it. There's no mourning over this. So Paul spends a great deal of time correcting the Corinthians concerning sin in the church. And of course, in our verses, he is correcting the Lord's table. There were some who came to binge. Back in these days, they had what you called love feasts. And they would come together and they would binge eat and they would eat supper. Well, some that didn't have the means of feeding themselves or they didn't have access to any food, they were left out. And then there were some who ate. There was drunkenness taking place. And so Paul, he corrects this by saying, eat at home. This is the Lord's table concerning his life he lived. And if you keep going on in the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find in the very next chapter, chapter number 12, he corrects them on spiritual gifts. He spends a great deal talking about spiritual gifts. And one thing we can take away when it comes to spiritual gifts is that no one in the body of Christ is greater than the other. We all belong to the same body. God has just endowed others differently to the edification of the saints. And so the book of 1 Corinthians has to do with correction. The book of 2 Corinthians has to do with Paul's letter of vindication to the Corinthians. Paul spends several times actually vindicating his apostleship. We won't read the verse, but in 2 Corinthians 10, actually verses, in verse number 8 through 11, mentions that. Many thought that Paul was all talk and no action. He wrote his letters and they were heavy and they were weighty. But yet his bodily appearance, most believe he was a small man. He was feeble and weakly looking. And Paul says, I can back up what I preach in person. And so Paul didn't and never looked for opportunities to boast of his apostleship, but sometimes he had to. And so 2 Corinthians deals a whole lot with that. And so in our verses this morning, we're looking at verse number 23, and I want to read down through verse number 32. It's a lot of verses, but I really want us to take our time here. And again, it's Paul correcting the church of Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper. Look in verse number 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We'll finish out the chapter. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another, or tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. This morning I want to look in these verses, and I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, where to look at the Lord's table. Where to look at the Lord's table. Now in these verses, Paul gives us direction concerning the Lord's table. Again, we know that Paul was correcting the Corinthians. In fact, in verse number 17, he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Listen to this, verse 20. "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." And then the verses we read just a moment ago. Four places this morning that Paul directs our attention to when it comes to the Lord's Supper that I want to mention. Where to look at the Lord's Supper. Number one, I believe we are to look back at the Lord's Supper. Or to look back. Notice again in verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, notice, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So the first place we should look at the Lord's table is back. We should look upon the bread when we get ready to partake here in a few moments, because it reminds us of Christ's body that was broken for us. We should look back at his body. Whenever he was beaten and scourged, the crown of thorns that was platted upon his head, the cross that he carried on up Golgotha's hill, and his body that was broken for us, we should remember this morning. And I want to say that his body was broken for you this morning. His body was broken for me. He took the stripes that I deserved. He took the stripes that you deserved. And the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. When he was nailed to the cross, he did that for his love for you, and he did that for his love for me. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He publicly displayed his love on the cross of Calvary. His body that was broken for us. Those watching on Facebook, whether you're a believer, whether you're a Christian, whether you have been born again or not, Jesus died for you. He wore the crown of thorns for you, so that one day you wouldn't have to wear an eternal crown of thorns. So this morning we should look back. We should look back at his body. But then we should look back at his blood. In verse number 25 he says, "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And so the cup, it reminds us of Christ's blood that was shed. The bread, it reminds us of his body that was broken. But the cup reminds us of the blood that was shed. Now, this morning, I hope nobody was excited over this, because it's not going to happen. But this is non-alcoholic communion cups. I trust nobody was getting excited over that. That it had alcohol in it. Because you see, this cup did not have, it was not fermented. And if the bread resembles, unleavened bread resembles the body that was broken for us, the cup, the pure juice from the vine, it was used to portray the pureness of his blood this morning. When it comes to alcohol, there is a fermentation process which involves bacteria. I want to say this morning, there is no and was no bacteria. That he was without spot and without blemish, the blood of Jesus. And so the cup this morning it reminds us of his precious, sinless, spotless blood that was given for you and that was given for me. If anybody dies and goes to a devil's hell this morning, it is because they have rejected this precious, pure, holy blood. Amen. So this morning, accept the Lord as your Savior. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know that if you were to die, you're not sure if heaven will be your home, let's settle that today. So we should look back. I noticed something, and it really got my attention, that the Lord is calling attention to remember his death. Look in verse 25 again, middle ways through. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. He talked about his body. He talked about his blood. But then he says, do this and remember my death. I don't know about you, but the manner in which friends and loved ones die, I don't want to remember. We've had a lot of family and friends, and you have too, worldwide, that have died because of the coronavirus. Died on the ventilators. Died trying to get to the hospital. And I don't want to remember those kinds of deaths. But the Lord calls attention to remember his death. Why is that? I believe there's a couple reasons why. He wants us to look back this morning and remember his death, his body and his blood. Number one, gratitude. Gratitude. We haven't had communion in a while, and I got it wrote down at home. I have officiated it at least twice since I've been here as the pastor. It's been so long, though, since we've done it, I had to go back and look. But some churches, they do it quarterly. Some people do it every Sunday. I just believe that we're to do it often. Why is that? Because it puts a special emphasis on the life of the Lord and the purchase that he paid for our salvation, our eternal home in heaven with him. I believe one reason why he wants us to remember his death is because of gratitude. Starting with me, let us never get to a place where we take our salvation for granted and just say, well, I'm saved, I'm going home to heaven one day, and so all is well. Don't need to go to church. Don't need to read my Bible. Don't need to pray. Let's not ever get to a place that we're ungrateful for what the Lord accomplished for us. If I did feel that way, I would have to question my salvation to begin with. But there's a second reason why I believe that he wants us to remember his death. And why we should look back is because our identity. Who we are. Meaning, what he accomplished on the cross has everything to do. It centers around who we are. Everything we are centers around his death and resurrection. Listen to Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. His death is important this morning because it has to do with our identity. The old Justin is dead. Stay with me this morning. The old you, if you're saved, is dead. And there's a new you. There's a new Justin. And it all took place and was made possible because of this man in the middle. The man who died. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He said that Jesus died for our sins. And if He didn't die for our sins this morning, we are of all men most miserable. We're still in our sin and we're hell-bound and hell-bent. But Jesus died. And Jesus paid it all. But it goes on. In verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, we're not de-emphasizing the cross. We're trying to magnify the cross this morning. But I will say this. A lot of people have died in the name of religion. A lot of religious leaders, a lot of people who led cults and false religion have died in the name of being a great leader that have died for people. Muhammad died. Buddha died. Confucius died. And there's even those who thought they were doing a service to God who armed themselves with suicide bombs and got on two airplanes and went to the Twin Towers all those years ago. Many people have died in the name of religion and trying to die as a leader that people follow, but only this man that died, Jesus. You can visit that area in Israel, and there is no Jesus in that tomb. You can go to the tomb of Buddha, and he's there. You can go to the tomb of Muhammad, and he's there. Back when I worked at Georgia Tech, there were these Muslims there. And on the third floor of the student center, every day, many times during the day, they would go in the bathroom with these flip-flops. And they would put their feet up in the sink. They would wash their feet, put them in the sink, wash their feet, get back in. All I can remember is the squeaking. That's all I can remember. They had their prayer corner by the ballroom in the student center on the third floor. And they would all go in there. They wanted to have clean feet while approaching Muhammad. And listen, they bowed. I've watched them. They bowed and they turned toward Mecca. And they offered prayers to him. And every time, many times throughout the day, washing their feet. Washing their feet. Going, getting their mats. One day, I put a track. I walked in their little corner. And I had a Muslim track. And I thumbed that thing. Landed right in the center of their prayer pallet. And I went in the ballroom. I got kind of nervous for a minute. To be honest with you. I went in the ballroom. And I looked through the cracks of the doors. They disassemble and they assemble. And they all were huddling. What is this? What is this? Who did this? Who did this? I was like, oh my Lord. Let them not come in here and attack me. Who did this? Who did this? But they got the gospel when I gave that track. And listen, they were cleaning their feet. They were approaching, again, Muhammad and toward Mecca so many times during the day. And Muhammad is in the grave. But Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus died for us. His body was broken. He shed his blood. He was buried. And then on the third day, up from the grave, he arose, triumphing over his foes. And this morning, we should look back at the death of Jesus because it's because of Jesus we even have a way to go to heaven. Let me move on. The first direction we should look, the first place we should look at the Lord's table is back. But then we should look ahead. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We should look ahead. We should observe the Lord's Supper till he comes. However many times we do it, we're to do it continually, but we're to look ahead until he comes. The return of our Lord is imminent. The return of the Lord Jesus is the blessed hope of the church. Jesus not only died, was buried, rose again, but is coming back to take us home. This same Jesus that we've seen go away in like manner shall come again for us. Today we are unfinished and undone, all of us. This guy is. We're not what we should be, but when we see him, we will be like him. Listen to this. 1 John chapter number 3 in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're children of God now if you've experienced a new birth. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's coming a day where we're going to be just like Jesus. Oh, there's an unfinished part down here. Listen, there's going to be times where I drop the ball, and I'm more aware of it than anybody, but there's going to be times where I don't measure up to, or maybe be where you want me to be, and call when you want me to call, and I may drop the ball and fail as a pastor from time to time, but there's one thing about it. When Jesus comes, I'll be just like him. That unfinished part will be made whole. That unfinished part of you will be made whole. And then we'll be like him. And so we should look ahead. He tells us to observe the Lord's table till it comes. Let me mention a third thing. We should look within. And I want to spend a minute here because I believe this is the most important part of communion. Look in verse number 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I want to call your attention to one word that has been misapplied, misused for so long, and that is the word unworthily. Heard a story one time of a church that was observing communion, and there was a man in the back weeping, and he was crying, and he was just, you know, sobbing. And so the offering or the communion plate came by. He said, no, please, I'm not worthy. The deacon leaned in and said, sir, none of us are worthy to partake of the Lord's body, the bread and the cup. And you see, the reason why I said that little mini story, true story, is because the word unworthily doesn't mean unworthy. It's different. The word unworthily means in an unworthy manner. We're all unworthy this morning, aren't we? All of us. And if we ever get to, we will never get to a place of feeling worthy. And when we do, we've just committed sin because we're not. So the word unworthily means in an unworthy manner. It means irreverently. He says, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now look at verse number 28. I'm going to have to go through some of these verses and then wrap it up and make my point at the end so you can understand the way I like. In verse 28 he says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He says this ought to be a time of self-examination, the time of communion. And one way to eat of the bread and drink of the cup in an irreverent manner or in an unworthily kind, one way to do that is by not being saved. If you are not born again this morning, this cup does not belong to you. This bread does not belong to you. He goes on and he says, notice verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So if we're discerning the Lord's body this morning, that's his, symbolically, the bread, his body, the cup, his blood, and I'm partaking in that, that's because there has been a work of grace already in my heart. Again, this is not the sacrament. We're not doing this to obtain grace, but we're doing this because we've obtained grace. Look back at verse 28 again. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Not only one must be saved in order to partake this morning, but one must have sin confessed. Must have sin confessed. When we go to partake in the communion of the Lord, it was sin that put him there. And if we are living in habitual, continual rebellion against God, and we partake of that bread and partake of that cup, we are guilty of his body. Meaning it was sin that put him on the cross. And if we're living in sin, and it's habitual sin, and it's continual sin, we are guilty and we are inviting chastisement of the Lord upon us. Look what he says in verse 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or irreverently, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Look at the next verse. It flows. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." For what cause? For people, the Corinthians, they were being gluttons at this time. They were joining their parties in the Lord's table and throwing them back and saying, "Look, this is the Lord's table. We're celebrating. Let's." No, that's not the Lord's table. He said, "You can eat at home." He said, "But the reason why we're coming together now is to observe his body that was broken, to observe his blood that was shed." And discerning that, when we partake of the bread and partake of the cup, we are saying not that we're perfect, but we have examined ourselves. We are not guilty of habitual and continual sin. We know it was sin that put him on the cross. We're not going to do this irreverently this morning. We're going to come to the altar. We're going to get right with God. If we're not saved, we need to get saved. If we're living outside of God's will, we need to come and humble our hearts and ask God to forgive us and then partake of the Lord's Supper. Again, it's not about being worthy. It's about being observing unworthily in an irreverent manner. And Paul said there's many that God has chastened sore in the area of sickness because they were taking lightheartedly the Lord's table. There were some who had habitual, continual sin. There were some who were drunkards and they were at the Lord's table and they were just eating, just making light of it. We'll add this to what we're doing. And they would end up sick. Look at the next verse. Some ended up dead. Some died. But it flows. Look at verse 32. Verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Meaning, when we come together for the Lord's table, if there is anything in my life that is habitual, that's not pleasing to the Lord. If there is anything in my life that is continual, habitual, then I'm to examine and I'm to confess and I'm to repent of. I'm to judge my own sin. Because if I don't judge my sin, then if I don't judge where I'm at as a believer, allowing sin to heap upon heap in my life, God will judge me. If you're here this morning, there's habitual, continual sin, and you just nonchalantly partake of communion, you are inviting God to chasten you. I believe that with all my heart. Because in the Corinthian church, that's what happened. And for this cause, verse 30, many were weak and sickly, and many slept. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I want to say that that is a wonderful, wonderful truth, verse 31. Anywhere we may be in life, anywhere, judge your own sin. Stay repented, up to date. And if you do that, God will not chasten you, according to these verses. If I judge myself, if I check myself, if I repent of my sin, we should not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, verse number 32, there is two positions of the Lord here. He is Father to His children, but He is judge to the lost world. And He's going to judge this world according to being judge. But He corrects His children as a father. And He does this. He does this so that we might recover into a more pure, enlightened life, living for Jesus. And not be in the same basket as the world. And so this morning we should look within. This is a time of reflection, a time of examination. Nobody's worthy to partake, but many do unworthily partake in an irreverent manner. There is this morning qualifications to partake, and that is salvation and sin confessed. Again, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll give a verse of invitation. We actually won't have a song. We should look ahead. We should look within. We should look back. But then lastly, we should look around. And when I say look around, it doesn't mean to be spiritual deputies to make sure everybody's in line with the Lord. It's not to criticize one another, but to discern the Lord's body. Verse 33 and 34 gives reference to unity and waiting on one another. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. You see, the bread not only symbolizes the Lord's body that was broken, but it symbolizes, I believe, in my own estimation, it symbolizes the body of Christ, the church. You see, the bread is the Lord's body, but also we are part of the Lord's body. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the loaf. We are part of the loaf. As a body, our human physical bodies are together, so the church should be. And so if I could just say it this way, communion also demonstrates unity within the body. Unity. We should look around. We all make up the body of Christ during communion time. It should be a time of reflecting on that. We all make up the body of Christ. We should strive for unity as Christ is the loaf and we are part of the loaf. We should look around. We should look within. We should look ahead. And then we should look back. Where to look at the Lord's table? All of these things wrapped up in these verses this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are. for what you do. I pray, Lord, that the words that were said were acceptable in your sight. Oh God, I pray that it was simplified and basic so that it'd be easily understood. No one here is perfect. None of us here are worthy. But Lord, when we approach your table in just a moment, help us do it in a worthily manner, discerning your body. It was sin that you came and died. And if we partake and we're living in sin, we're guilty this morning. We're guilty of your body because sin put you there. Help us this morning if we need to come and respond and repent and start afresh and anew. Not get saved all over again, but just repent of some things. Let us do that so that when we partake, it might be a joyful and grateful experience. Maybe there's someone here, maybe there's someone watching that doesn't know you personally. Father, let them humble their hearts and ask you to come in their hearts and be the Lord and Savior of their life and to repent of their sin and turn to you for grace. Whatever the case may be this morning, we pray, Lord, that you'll give free course. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. As we sing, you respond if you need to. Praise the Lord.
And falling on their knees, they bow before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King.
Do you know Jesus personally?
No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Will you present your offering this morning? What does that mean to you?
The sun could not compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come.
Yes, Lord.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you.
The altars are open for any need this morning.
Jesus, will you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Thank you.
You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. The deacons are in place this morning, and they have set the table. We appreciate that. Such a wonderful, wonderful job. Let me say this before we begin. That we have, and I've been enjoying saying it, convenient communion cups. They've been out for a few years, but I'll just say this, that each cup has the bread and the juice together, all right? And our deacons have, they come together this morning and they made sure there's two tabs on this cup. They've made sure that the tabs have been separated. Of course, the first tab is clear, so it may have went back down and stuck itself to the second, but I want to give a little bit of, going to give a little bit more each. Give some extra time to open these cups this morning. The second one can be a little more tough than the top one, so be mindful of that. But and two, we're doing this for COVID's sake as well. So we appreciate the deacons this morning. All right, men. However you seem fit, go ahead and serve the body.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for the body that was broken. We do not dare take it lightly. Today we observe the very fact that you gave your body to be beaten for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Partake at this time. Prepare for the cup. Amen. Amen. Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Father, one more time, with a great big hearty thank you for your blood. Your blood, Lord. Because of your blood, we were brought nigh to the Father. Because of your blood, those who call upon your name for salvation will go to heaven. But not only that, Lord, have power to live a victorious life here and to receive all that you have for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you this morning for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. If you partake of the cup, word and dismissal of at the Let's stand to our feet this morning and I want to sing a verse as we leave. The Bible says they went out and sung a hymn.
Lord a round of applause this morning. All right, all right. We will dismiss this morning and feel so to the Lord. And let me remind everyone, the Sunday after next, we're going to have baptism. And so that's both ordinances in the same month. And we're proud of that, with homecoming right in the middle. So anyway, all right, 4 o'clock choir practice and 5 o'clock service. Meet us here. All right. Anything to mention before we close?
I've got a trash can.
Oh, okay. CJ has a trash can. All right, for the disposing of our cups. All right. You're dismissed.